Housing Corporation's Board of Directors Budget and Finance Committee meeting. Today is Tuesday, June 14th, year 2022, and we have a start time of 1:03. Chairman, I'll go ahead and proceed with the calling of the roll, sir. Committee Chairman Stephen Hattier.
Here.
Committee Member Board Chairman Anthony Marullo. Committee Member Brandon Williams. Hello. Board Member Louisiana State Treasurer John Schroeder. Hello, Ms. Luigi. Board Vice Chairwoman Mabry. Board Member Harrell. Board Member Jackson. Board Member McIntyre. Board Member Rack. Board Member Vadreen. Board Member Richard Winder. Hey, Mr. Winder. Chairman, we do have a quorum of the Budget and Finance Committee. Chairman, that brings us to item number 2 on the agenda. That would be approval of the minutes of the April 5th, 2022 Budget and Finance Committee member meeting. I'll let the record reflect that those minutes were previously distributed to the board members, as well as you have them in your binder in the back tab labeled Budget and Finance Committee. All right, Chairman, there was a first by Member Leegee, seconded by Member Winder to accept the minutes of the April 5th, 2022 Budget and Finance Committee meeting. Is there any opposition from the board members? The record will reflect that those minutes are approved as distributed. Chairman, that brings us to item number 3. At this time, we'll allow any members of the public who wish to comment such time. Let the record reflect that I've received no written comments, nor do I have any cards from any public member attending who wishes to speak at this time, Chairman. Chairman, that will conclude the public comment session. Chairman, that brings us to item number 4. Does the Chairman wish to present a report?
Yeah, do I need to make a motion?
I know, so if you have a report, anything you wish to report to the committee?
No.
Okay. All right, sir. Then that brings us to our next item, which will be the discussion regarding the approval of the fiscal year 2023 LHC operating budget. The matter will be introduced by Executive Director Joshua Hollins with additional information possibly provided by CFO Carlos Dickerson and our COO, CLO, Marjorana Wildman.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, board members. It's good to see you all in the month of June. Before you, you have our FY23 draft operating budget summary. I'm going to allow our CFO to walk us through that budget in great detail, but I will give you a couple highlights to let you know that I believe we have a prudent budget, a fiscally sound budget in front of you to lead us into the fiscal year 23. What I will share with you is obviously we have seen some increase as it relates to COVID-19 dollars that have been infused into our programs. It's increased our workload some, but the budget that was introduced to me when I was appointed had us growing as an agency by about 18 positions. Since that time, I've been able to work with our CFO to get what I think to be a more fiscally responsible budget. Those 18 positions in the personnel category, human resources, showed us growing by about $2.2 million in just personnel. What you see in front of you today is under $1 million. We have been able to, I think, whittled down would have been 9 new positions to make sure that we have a fiscally responsible budget. And when you look through the rest of the categories under expenditures, outside of human resources, we're only growing by $2,400 in the rest of our categories. And so I think you have a budget here that allows us to address our increased workload, but not expand in an irresponsible manner, but also being responsible throughout the other categories related to our building expenses, travel and training, supplies, professional services, legal auditing, and our operating services. And so I think the budget that you have in front of you is one that is taken into consideration. And while we do have some revenue growth this year, we have been responsible in how we've grown in terms of our expenses. And so at this time, I'll turn it over to our CFO to walk you through exactly what this draft operating budget entails.
Hello. Just want to kind of start the process as to how we come about the actual compilation of the budget. What I do is that I go over with the managers and the administrators, giving them information as to the past couple of years in revenue and expenses for each of their different departments. And we take that information and try to estimate how we come up with the budget for the next fiscal year. Utilizing that information, if there's any kind of major changes as it relates to how they believe those expenses and or revenues are going to be generated next year, then we would adjust the budget accordingly to handle those changes as far as the next year's budget is concerned. There are 20 different departments as far as the agency is concerned, which are run by those different managers and administrators. The expenses that we are paying for the upcoming fiscal year are sent to each of those managers for approval to make sure that any expenses that we have and or revenues that are generated are posted to the correct accounts for each of those different departments. We're going to start to go over the particular budget, going over the summary page, which shows proposed FY23 budget and the last year's budget plus any over and under for any of those line items as far as what we're requesting for the next fiscal year. The first category that I'm going to be speaking about is supportive housing administrative fees, OCD. What we're requesting this year is $2,750,000. Last year, it was $3,150,000, a $400,000 decrease. Under the supportive housing, we have moved the small rental program back to the Office of Community Development, and this will cause a slight decrease in the amount of admin that the agency will be given for that particular program. So that's for a slight decrease in the supportive housing category. The next category is the energy program. We're requesting $1,650,200, which is the same as what we had for the previous year, so there wasn't any change in that particular category. The next category is home. We're requesting for the current next fiscal year is $1,850,000. The previous year's amount was $1,620,000, which is a $230,000 increase. For the home program, we will have additional funds under the American Rescue Plan, which will give us additional admin available to draw to cover those additional expenses under that particular program. The next category is the HUD disposition property income. We're requesting $1,525,000, which is the same as last year, so that it will remain steady. The Louisiana Housing Authority is the next category. We're requesting $2,950,000. Last year it was $3,284,000, which is a $334,000 decrease. The Louisiana Housing Authority revenues are based on the amount of expenses that are generated under the program, and so we're anticipating a slight decrease in the amount of expenses, so therefore the revenue should drop as well. For the compliance monitoring, we're requesting $450,900, which is the same as last year, so that's going to remain steady. The next category is the multifamily program. We're requesting $3,500,000. Last year it was $2,900,000, which is a $600,000 increase. The multifamily revenues have been steadily increasing over the past couple of years, and we anticipate the trend to continue with multiple family housing projects that are in the pipeline, and the program will continue to have a strong support and increase in participation in the QAP process. The next category is the Section 8 contract administration. We're requesting $3,600,000. Last year was $3,390,000, a $210,000 increase. The Section 8 contract administration revenues will see a slight increase of revenues generated due to the changes in the market rate adjustment anticipated in the upcoming contract, which will have an effect on the anticipated revenues for the program. The next category is the single family, which is $2,300,000. Last year was $1,700,000, which is a $600,000 increase. The single family program is expected to participate in the mortgage revenue bond program, with our next bond issue coming will take place and probably close either at the end of June or at the beginning of July. The agency receives funds from our turnkey program plus issuer fees from the MRB program that will help the agency to continue to provide services for the state of Louisiana. The next category is the miscellaneous income, which is $20,000, and that's going to remain steady from the previous years. So the total amount of revenue that we're requesting is $20,596,100 versus last year, which is $19,690,100, which is a $906,000 increase over the previous year. The next category we're going to talk about is operating expenses. The first category is HR. What we're requesting is $15,320,369. Versus $14,375,245, which is a $945,124 increase. The amount of increase was for seven full-time employees with an average salary around $77,000, which related benefits are included, which is retirement, Medicare, FICA, plus health and dental. The breakdown for that particular category is about $545,000 in salaries, $312,000 in retirement, Medicare and FICA is about $8,000, and about $80,000 in benefits for health and dental. So that's the breakdown of the $945,000 that we're asking over the previous year. As Mr. Hollins indicated, the other categories between operating services, building expense, travel and training, supplies, professional service, legal, and auditing, as he indicated, was only a $2,400 difference. There were certain increases in those particular categories. Working with the administrators and managers, we were able to offset those by decreases in professional services and legal. Operating services of $1,559,400 for the current year versus last year's $1,424,000, which is a $135,400 increase. Building expenses are $450,000. Last year was $425,000, which is a $25,000 increase. For travel and training, we're requesting $422,000 for the current year versus $366,500, which is a $55,500 increase. Supplies is $141,550 versus $127,050, which is a $14,500 increase. Professional services is $2,173,000 versus $2,460,000, which is a $287,000 decrease. Legal services, $124,000 versus last year, $135,000, which is an $11,000 decrease. Auditing, $250,000 for the current year versus $180,000, which is a $70,000 increase. The total operating expense that we're requesting is $20,440,319 versus to last year of $19,492,795, which is an increase of $947,524. We're anticipating for the next year's budget to have excess revenue over expenses of $155,781 versus the previous year's revenue over expenses of $197,305. There's another report in your packet, which is the breakdown of the information that I just went over as far as revenues or expenses are concerned. It's the long sheet. And that, if you look at that, it has the same information for the very first column for operating receipts and expenses. Of course, receipts at the top and expenses at the bottom. But this gives a more detailed breakdown of the different departments that make up those dollars that we just discussed previously. For instance, accounting, administration, compliance, contract admin, asset management, energy assistance. These are the different departments that make up those totals that I just spoke to you about in the previous list of items. So that would give you some additional detail if you want to know the breakdown by department.
Pardon me, sir. Chairman, could you activate his mic, sir?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
That should do it. All right. Thank you. I know there was some conversation earlier about the Section 8 contract administration. Depending on what they did in D.C., whether we would continue to get that or not, right? So, one, do we know the status of that? And two, what is the... what kind of preparations could we make, because it looks like it represents about 12% of our overall budget. What kind of ramifications would that do to us if we do lose that funding source?
Well, we've had discussions with the lady who is the administrator of the energy program, which is Lauren Holmes, and she indicated that there has been in the past a continual discussions with the Section 8 to make sure that we participate in making sure that the contract does come to us if that ever comes about. I know that if we were to lose the Section 8 contract revenue, that would put a very big hole as far as the agency is concerned. But we have some general fund money that we could use in order to kind of plug that hole until they determine how to handle a loss of that revenue if it does take place. But that has been something that's been occurring over, from my discussions with her, over several years. And it hasn't really come to fruition as far as them taking that particular Section 8 contract away from the agency. So at this point in time, it stands to reason that we're going to make sure that they take every step necessary to make sure that we can continue to utilize that program as far as the agency is concerned.
Okay. It also, we have about $2.1 million in professional services contracts. What all goes into that? What is all lumped into that?
Well, the professional services contracts, there are different entities or different departments that use professional services, such as with accounting, Next Level Services is one of our professional services contract that we use. And They provide services as far as updating information for our accounting system, handling any database management that's necessary for HR. So that is one of the different professional services that we use. Some of the other professional services that are used throughout the agency is like the court reporter is a professional services. Frost Barber is another entity that we use to put together cubicles and provide furniture and other items for the agency as well. Another professional services that we utilize is like TAC, which is technical assistance vendor. They provide professional services to the Louisiana Housing Agency as far as trying to give them guidance as far as the ESG program and some of the other different programs that the agency uses in the Louisiana Housing portion of the agency. Hancock Software is another vendor that we use as in professional services, and they provide services for the LAHEAP and WAP program. They provided us with a database management system in order to handle the different CAP agencies and disbursements for energy assistance for the different energy programs that they use within the agency. So those are some of the professional services related vendors that we use here at LHC.
Okay.
Yeah. Good afternoon. I just have some general questions. Human resources and professional services account for $17,400,000 of the budget. The budget as proposed is $20 million. So we're looking 80, I'm trying to do mental math, my calculator went about 80%, 85%. in a doomsday scenario, mid-budget, fiscal catastrophe, we just got to do something. What areas would you cut if, in fact, 6 months into the budget, things are really just going haywire, revenues aren't coming in as we thought they were, where would we go with that? And maybe that's a question for Josh as opposed to you.
Thank you, Mr. Wander. What I will tell you is most of our revenue, you can directly tie it to a program.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can tie most of our human resource and our human capital to those programs. And so I think if you get in the situation that you just said, you know, God forbid, that you lose revenue, you likely will be able to tie that revenue directly to a program that is somehow lost revenue. And unfortunately, I think that's where you begin when you look at your either professional service or human resource expense related to that program. That's likely where you would begin to look at where you cut back. I think the specific nature of where our revenue comes from and is not necessarily as general would allow you to be able to begin to look program specific of, okay, if I lost 25% of my revenue there, how do I bring a reduction that is reflective in my human resources and my professional services? I think that would probably be our approach.
Okay. Thank you, Executive Director. And one of the reasons why I brought that up, I experienced a doomsday scenario in the city of New Orleans with Katrina, and we went from thousands of employees to hardly any just to bring the city back. This as a reminder as we as administrators go about our jobs, maybe always in the back of our mind that we begin to think about those things that we have to have, meaning required services or things that we don't need. just as a point of preparation, it's a very hard task to lay off 5,000 people, you know. So, again, think on those terms. But the budget itself, in my estimation, it looks real good. Y'all worked hard on it. It's reflective of your incoming leadership. And personally, I think you guys did a good job in making the dollars work, and at the same time protecting the interests of the public and make sure that we do well with their money.
Sure. And the only thing I'll add to that, Mr. Wanda, is in part of my input on the budget was to take a look back. When you look at the agency, in 2018, 2019, we were about 100, 135 employees. Going into this fiscal year, we're at about 157. I think what was originally proposed to me was us growing to 166, right? I was able to kind of dial that back to 157, but I think to your point, we've got to be able to look at how we operated more nimbly before. And I think if we were put in a situation where we had to look at cuts, if we had to look at how we downsize, I think you go back to where you once were before and look at how you had that model, what were your expenses. And so I think you got to use your historic data of where the agency was before. Now, granted, we're glad to see revenues increasing, but if those revenues is related to COVID, dollars, anything begin to taper off, you got to look at where you were before you saw that excess revenue begin to come in. So,
thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman, may we let the record reflect the arrival of Board Chairman Marullo. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Secretary.
Yeah, so my question is, we're forecasting a loss of about $400,000 in revenue with the loss of the small rental program moving to OCD. Those employees that were working on that program would probably be assigned and absorbed to other departments or other areas, so which is fine. The seven employees that are going to be added to the expenditures in human resources, will those be coming on, you know, when do you expect them to arrive, and does that kind of come in as revenues continue to grow, or is it?
So some of them have already arrived. Some of them are vacancies that are waiting for the approval of the budget for FY23. I'll tell you a couple things that we did do to make sure that we were fiscally prudent is I have a number of probationary employees that are waiting to get permanent status. I have not approved those yet until we get an approval of the budget and understood that we were in a safe ground in terms of the budget. In terms of those vacancies, some of those were by the programs proposed, and so they're still vacant until we fill them. You did see, and I think I've been transparent about that, in executive administration, you saw the addition of one position in my office in terms of an executive. That has been filled. But the rest of them, I think at this moment, most of them are still vacant, waiting on the approval of FY23 draft operating budget.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yes, sir.
And is there any chance that the small rental program that had been moved over to OCD, could that come back to LHC someday, or is that gone? That ship has sailed.
I would say the ship has sailed. I think you're going to see another iteration of the ERA or ERAP. That program is still being co-managed between OCD and LHC, but the co-management of it and going back, we lost some of our admin fee, so we're still pulling some admin fee from that. We just lost some of it. When it became a co-managed situation between LHC and OCD.
Okay. And other than that, on the operating receipts, it seems that, you know, that's the biggest loss. You know, in Louisiana Housing Authority, that's just expenses generated on the program, and it is what it is.
That's correct.
I guess my other question would be, once you get to 158 employees, I mean, you know, going forward, you just don't know what your need will be for additional employees or, you know, if there's continued growth, then obviously you need more employees.
Well, I think if there's continued growth in terms of our revenue, and you look at the different programs in terms of what their needs are, there's a couple of different options for us. You know, like take, for example, in my LAHEAT program and my energy assistance, they have on the table some requests for optional pay. So if employees can potentially take on some additional duties temporarily while there's new revenue that's causing a new workload because of some of the COVID money that's coming on, they can take on some additional duties. And I can compensate there without having to bring on a full salary benefited employee. We're looking at options like that as well. And so I think that's our first option, right, which is why you probably saw a reduction in what the original request was to go up another 18 employees, is we got to look at some other options that doesn't put salary and related benefits on us in such an increased manner. I think when you look, I think the size that we are now, and I've had some of these conversations with some of my colleagues from around the country, especially in the Southeast, I think we're on par. You know, the history for where we are with LHC, I think we're in our largest posture that we've probably been. But I think the revenues support that, but I will tell you that, you know, I understand that I have to handle that prudently and that I inherited some of that decided growth, and we'll look at how we grow and what that manner is to make sure we do that in a responsible way going forward and manage what we have today, understanding where you are with human capital, doing what we can to take care of our employees as much as possible, and how we handle that within the budget.
Thank you.
Might be on. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One general question. It's budget related, but I'm just curious. What's the age of this building? How old is this building? This
building is 21 years old. It was done in 2001.
Okay.
Open.
All right. When I drove in, I saw a technician adding Freon to an outside unit.
Right.
And it's cold in here. Is there, are we beginning to see some issues with AC and heat as relates to the age of the building?
We just had a, over at our industrial plex location, we just addressed the HVAC issue. As of right now, from an HVAC perspective here, unless someone, as I stand to be corrected, I hadn't, any issues hadn't faced us, but there are some other areas. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I think in my biweekly report, I talked to you all about our generator.
Right.
Our generator is original to the building. When you look at the life cycle of that, we've gotten some good use out of it, but they're putting, they're retrofitting switches to the transfer switch. Mm-hmm. They're retrofitting that because they don't make the switch anymore.
Right.
And so the last time we had a power outage, that retrofit didn't work. The transfer switch did not kick on the generator. I had an employee stuck in the elevator. Mm-hmm. You know, we start talking about our servers and IT equipment. And so I've asked them to be able to quote out for us to be able, and that's a diesel generator. And so when it can run for 3 days, right? And so then you're looking for fuel. So I've asked them to looking at a Generac or something of that nature that can go to the natural gas line that we know is gonna be kick on and when it's necessary. So we do have some of those issues that I think are going to you'll see some maintenance costs throughout. But I think when you look at the life cycle of what we've had, mm-hmm. it justifies that it's time to be able to address some of those things, and we're addressing them in the budget and within the confines of what we have in terms of revenue. So. Okay.
You do, our staff, you do in particular, have authority to declare an emergency and make an emergency repair immediately, as opposed to going somewhere and somebody has to approve it for you if it's over a certain amount.
Yeah, if it's a purchase order and it's within the budget, I can sign that purchase order. I would tell you that, you know, when they get to be really expensive, mm-hmm. I just find it prudent to let the board know what's happening. But, you know, from a authority standpoint, I can sign that for us to be able to move forward. And, mm-hmm. of course, we work with legal to make sure if we need to have bids or anything. Right. Or if I can go straight to a state vendor for something like that. They're mm-hmm. approved state vendor. But we follow all our procurement that's necessary. But I do have the latitude that if we end up in a situation that's an emergency, to be able to handle that. So.
Okay. You don't have to answer the question now, and you can pass it on to staff. I'm just curious as to what are the ages of the air conditioning systems that we have inside of this building in particular?
Yes, sir. I'll get with Ms. Warren Wilson, our facilities manager, and find out.
Okay.
But I would venture to say some of them probably may be original to what we have, but I will find out from her and get that information to you.
My comment to that is, uh-oh. And also one last thing.
I saw what you saw out there. He had one of those old flip cars.
You were
really expensive.
Right. I saw what he was using. I'm just curiosity, right? I saw the tank he was using and said, ooh, okay. Natural gas is the way to go with the generators, by the way. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Is there a way that we could get a copy of the professional services, you know, just a breakdown, a line item of, you know, where that's going to?
Yes, sir. We've got, I think we already had it prepared, broken down by program and department, so we can get that to you pretty swiftly.
Perfect. Thank you.
Josh, can you revisit with us, being that we're talking about budget now, the changes you made to executive staff and how that translates into savings?
Yes, sir, I could do that. When I arrived, I had a chief operating officer. I had an executive council. And I also had a director of policy position that was vacant. And there was also, trying to make sure I get this right, I can find it on my org chart, but what I'll tell you from a savings perspective, there was a combining of the COO and the chief legal officer, which is Ms. Willman, which saved us. We were paying the former executive council $150,000 annually plus benefits, which comes out to over $200,000. And so with the combination of those two positions, I think we saved just under $200,000, I think it was there. I only added one position, which would be the director of government affairs. That director of the other position was director of public relations that was existing. The director of government affairs position, there was precedence there. In fact, the position itself was still created. It just was not filled under the last administration. So there was already precedence for that position to be with LHC. That position was added at a salary of $110,000, and so when you net it all out, we still ended up with a savings in the executive administration under my office. And so Also, as you know, I forewent hiring a chief administrative officer as well, and so that's not reflected in this budget. In fact, I didn't even keep it. I didn't just leave it vacant. I took it out of the budget where it's not contemplated of me doing that in FY23.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
What was the price tag for that?
That price tag was $140,000 plus benefits, which would probably, Carlos probably knows it better than me, would put you over $200,000 as well. So, yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I don't really have a question, but I know you guys are taking into consideration all the ARP funds and disaster funds that are going to be coming when you're looking at this budget, correct?
Yes, sir, absolutely. And I think that's probably what warrants where you see, if you look at last fiscal year, we grew a little bit in terms of staff. This year we grew a little bit, but we cut back what the requested growth was to be prudent to understand that. When it's all said and done, you either have to absorb these people or you have to make the tough decision of making cuts, right? And where you can lessen the pain, if you will, and prepare for a rainy day, you need to be able to do that. And so we are considering that, but making sure that we do it in a prudent way. And like I alluded to earlier, where we can look at additional duties. I have a list in front of me right now that I'm looking at optional pay and additional duties related to some of this. I'm going to be making some moves in terms of the approval of that, but that allows for me not to have to have more salary and related benefits there. But we are considering it, and in terms of how we staff and how we handle that additional workload.
Okay, great. I think we all want to see a savings, but with those anticipated dollars coming down and coming in, we also need to be able to hit the ground running. So I think you guys have a great plan.
Yeah. Absolutely, and I think what the important thing about this budget, too, is we don't tap into our general fund and our unrestricted reserves. This leaves us with some excess receipts over expenses, and we don't tap into that, which I think is important because, similar to what Mr. Winder said, if we have a rainy day and we got to go tap into something, we have our unrestricted revenues there, but it shouldn't be a practice of us tapping into that to have our operating budget. And so I'm proud of this budget that it does not do that, and I think it's prudent to handle our workload.
Okay. Thank you.
That's good.
Chairman, if there are no additional questions from the board members, now would be the appropriate time to entertain a motion to report the matter favorably to the full board.
I move. Make a first.
Okay. There first by Chairman Marullo and a second by Board Member Williams to report favorably the approval of the fiscal year 2023 LHC operating budget for approval at tomorrow's full board. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Let the record reflect that the matter passed unanimously.
Thank you, board members.
Thank you.
And Chairman, that brings us to our last item, unless there's something else. Adjournment. As the first by Chairman Rullo and second by Mr. Winder. Adjournment time is 1:48. Thank you, everyone. That concludes today's Budget and Finance Committee meeting. Just a reminder that our next meeting will be at 2:30. That will be the Administration Committee meeting. And tomorrow we will have the 10:30 a.m. full board meeting. Have a good evening, everyone.
Thank you.
Oh, you sir.
See you.
Thank
boss.
You, sir. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Mm-hmm. Look at this title here. That made me laugh.